staff and doing some prayer, and basically leading the service as one body. My name is Jason Kleber. I'm an elder here at the church. I've been a member for 13, 14 years. And I started last service with a sports analogy, because I love sports analogies. I love sports. And I know this is a sports congregation, so I started with a basketball analogy. Found out our congregation is not a big basketball congregation. So I went back to the things that I know work, football and baseball, and worked a lot better. But the point that I was trying to make is I really want to hone in on this concept of how do little teams beat big powerhouses. I've been looking at that a lot lately, both in football and basketball. And one thing that seems to be ringing true is this concept of team. That a team of players that are unified on a mission with a game plan can beat a few teams with, you know, big talent or big paychecks. And that really kind of resonated with me as I was preparing for this, because I love this concept of being unified. That's what we've been talking about as I'm a church member. So I have a couple of verses here that touch on that. Colossians 1, 17 through 18. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church. Romans 12, 5. So in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And then finally, Ephesians, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And so for me, the message was really clear as I was preparing for this week, that we are called to be a body, that we are called to be unified with Jesus as the head. And this team concept is really important to me, because we need to realize that we're not the spectators. We're the team. The team isn't just the people on stage or the people you see running the ministries. If you're a member of Victor Valley, or if you're a member of Christ Church, we are members of the team, and we are called to actively serve. Whether as a bench player, as a starter, we are members of the same team. So today we're taking a step in that direction. Today we are the service. And today we are going to serve actively as one body, doing something that we are called to. We're going to lift up other members of the body in prayer, specifically the staff. Each of the elders has spent some time talking with, interviewing, getting to know a staff member that we don't have a really close personal relationship with, finding out what some of their prayer needs are, and then coming here today so we can lift them up in prayer. In your bulletin, you're going to see lists of the staff members' names. There's a little space for you to write down prayer concerns for them. And I really want to encourage you as we go through this, as the other elders come out, that you jot down a few things and that you lift our staff up in prayer. Because if there's one thing that I really want to highlight, is sometimes we come to church and we expect to be fed by the people on stage. But if we are one body, we need to feed them too. There's one absolute truth that I've learned in my walk, is that when I die to self, when I lay down my pride, my needs, and I serve others, God blesses me so much in that. And we can do that as one body. So today we're going to lift up the staff, and in turn they can lift us up. And the reason we're doing that is the Bible calls us to. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And this is hopefully a step in moving from that consumer culture to this concept that we are active members. So I spent some time this week, or actually 2 weeks ago, with Greg Carter. Greg leads worship up here, phenomenal guitar player. I don't really know Greg that well. I didn't really know Greg that well. I set up an appointment to go spend a few minutes with him, and those few minutes turned into a few hours. And it was really a blessed opportunity for me to get to know Greg a little bit better, both as a pastor and a music minister, and just as a person. And so when I sat down with him, we talked about a lot of things, music, movies, but I wanted to know what took place in his ministry besides what we see on stage. Now, Greg and the other musicians and the singers who come up here do a phenomenal job in worship, and they make it look easy, but there's so much work that goes behind this. And I have a list of a few things that they're responsible for, from designing the stages for Easter, Good Friday, Christmas services, recruiting vocalists, musicians, practicing. They practice a lot of songs that never quite make it on stage because they want to make sure there's a quality and a point to worship. Meet with representatives, research the roles of a worship leader. Greg has pointed out to me that he's involved in really trying to grow as a pastor as well, not just as a musician. Making music arrangements and click tracks. Anybody know what a click track is? Yeah, same thing for me. I had no idea what it was. Apparently, when they're up here singing, there's a little click, like a metronome in the air going off, keeping them time, to which I would have thought if I would have had that when I was young, maybe I would have been more musically inclined. but I doubt it. Plans with Jeremy, works with Neil, tabs out music, trains musicians, creates backing tracks from scratch, and working to develop as a pastor. There's so many things that go on, rehearsals and preparation for a few songs. And I wanted to share that with you. But what I also want to share with you is some things we can pray for Greg for. Things we can pray for him, his ministry, and the impact it has in worship, because the Bible calls us to worship. And so Greg shared with me a few prayer needs. If you want to jot down a couple of these, you're more than welcome to. I'll also be here at the end of the service at the front of the stage if you want to come talk about it or pray with me specifically for any of your needs or Greg's needs. But he shared with me volunteers, team members, musicians. There's a constant need for additional musicians and singers. Direction for the music ministry. I mean, that's a big charge, to be in charge of worship. And if you've spent some time in Psalms, you know how powerful that is. A guidance to lead and nurture the team. Guidance to balance the taste and music choices, to be the leader who chooses to follow the music God wants for the church rather than preferences. That's a big one to me. He looked me in the eye, and we talked about that, and he said, I want to pick the music that God wants that will lead this congregation in one voice to worship of our Lord. That's hard with generations and musical styles and so many differences to address all the personal needs and backgrounds, but he truly has that at the core of his mission when he comes up here on stage with the other musicians to draw us as one body to the cross and in presence with the Lord. To keep it fresh, to help people connect through worship. These are some of his prayer needs. So I'm going to go ahead and lift him up right now in prayer. So would you bow your head with me? Dear Lord, I want to lift up Greg, and I want to lift up his volunteers, his musicians, and all the people that work so hard in this ministry to lead us in worship, to lead us to the cross, to lead us to be moved to praise you and to just be overwhelmed by your presence. And with all the things that they do behind the scenes to make this work, Lord, just continue to help him grow and become the leader of the music ministry that you want, that guides this church to reach more lives. Because for many people, music is that first step to knowing you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Is that for me or Jason? Okay. Thanks, Jason. I want to also thank him for not stealing my verse. In first service, he started reading 1 Thessalonians 5:11, and I was like, man, I have 12 and 13. And he stopped there. So I'm going to share with you 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13. I think that goes really well with what we're talking about. It says, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work, and live in peace with each other. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is John. I'm also an elder here at Victor Valley Christian Church. And this morning, I get to talk to you about a couple other staff members here. Now you guys know, it's really easy to know who Jeremy is and who Neil is and Tammy. If you have kids, you see her running around there. But a lot of you don't know the two gals who kind of make everything happen behind the scene. Their picture's up there. It's Kimma Fowler and Tuesday Nichols. They both work in the office and serve in various capacities. Tuesday serves here as our office manager. She's in charge of all the scheduling. If you call the church, she's going to be the nice, friendly voice that you get to hear who answers the phone. She makes sure the bulletins are where they need to be. Everybody is kind of where they need to be at certain times, and she does a really great job doing that. I want to add that she does the job of what used to take two full-time employees to do, but when she came in, she really got involved in working with volunteers and coordinating volunteers to come in and do some of the work that we used to have full-time staff do, like making phone calls to visitors and coordinating things and answering phones. So she's really created an opportunity for people to come in and serve who like to do that. Kimma LaFowler, she is our finance number crunching guru, and I could not imagine having her job. She's responsible for not only the budget here for Victor Valley Christian Church, and that's somewhere around a $700,000 budget that she has to make sure everything goes where it's supposed to go, the bills are paid on time, that there's enough money in reserves to cover unforeseen expenses. She does all the tax documents, W-2. She's a huge responsibility, not only for Victor Valley Christian Church, but also for a child's place. I wasn't even aware of that. She does all the finances for them too. So she also has another $225, almost a quarter million dollar budget for them. Donna's shaking her head like, so she works with Donna to make sure that her staff gets paid on time, tax documents, all the bills are paid. So she's got this huge responsibility. Both of them do. In talking with them, they love this church. So over and above their jobs, they both serve very actively here. Tuesday is heavily involved in women's ministry. She leads a small group. She's involved in the Flourish Women's Ministry, which is a hugely successful ministry that sees some, 50 to 60 women come out to participate in that. Those of you who know Kimala know she has a huge heart for missions and for spreading the gospel just beyond these borders. She's been involved in the ministry, the missions ministry, for decades now, and also she is now serving actively in the Hope for Migori campaign as well. So they both have a huge passion for what they do here, beyond their normal jobs. And with that passion and that sense of ownership kind of comes some frustrations. So I was talking to them, asking them, what really stresses you out? What can we be praying for? And Tuesday, she needs to balance that time between, I got to do copies and make bulletins and call and order toner, the stuff that doesn't seem ministry related. She has to balance that with women's ministry and the things that she really has passions for. And poor Kimala, she wants to see all this stuff happen. They both just have these huge visions for Victor Valley Community Church to be a church where people, Kimala points out the picture that she would love to see as she's pulling in all of our neighbors across the street and down the street walking to church here. We don't see that, and we're this neighborhood church, and our neighbors don't go here. So she just really has a passion for those around. And she wants to fund all these things that we do. Brian comes in for youth just wanting to do this cool missions campaign. And Kimala, unfortunately, has to be the person to say no sometimes. She's in charge of the finances. She looks at the numbers and says, we would love to do this, but we have to be responsible to make sure we can be here. And that breaks her heart to, in her words, sometimes see ministry get the leftovers. And that was kind of a bummer to hear that. And so in talking with her, that's something that is on her heart. And I asked personally, what do you guys pray for so we can join you in that? And both of them had the same answer. They said, we pray for our pastors. We pray that God would just lead them to lead Victor Valley Christian Church in the way that he wants. And that's what they would invite you guys to do as well. Just in helping them deal with their stresses, pray for the pastors. And they just wanted to reiterate how much they love working here, how thankful they are for the opportunity to work here. And they just would love to see Victor Valley Christian Church become not just a place where people come and hear the word, but where people would just participate in that spirit of volunteerism. Because in their words, they're not getting rich working here or serving here. But they said, where else can you work where what you do has such an eternal significance in the lives of not only the people here, but also in the lives of the people who aren't yet here and who we wish to come here. So with that in mind, would you guys pray with me as we lift up Kimala and Tuesday? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love for our church, both for Kimala and for Tuesday and their passion for what they do and for the passion that they have to see the good news of Jesus Christ reach those in our community and even abroad. Lord, we join them in lifting up our pastors, that you would just continue to work through them and guide them and encourage them as you lead Victor Valley Christian Church to become what you want us to be. We also lift up both Tuesday and Kimala and their families. God, they just love what they do, and they've seen the difference Victor Valley Christian Church has made in their own lives and own families, and just want more than else, anything else, to see that take shape in other people's lives. And we just love you for who you are. Thank you. In your son Jesus' name, amen.
See how they like it to create someone of their own image who denies their existence. I
That is Christian comedian Jeff Allen in a bit that I have listened to before and laughed about and just thought, yeah, there were times when I'm sure my parents thought that of me when I was 15. And having raised a teenager of my own, I remember some times when she was trying to spread her wings and become her own person that I thought, really, you're not going to listen to a thing that I say. And if for no other reason, we should be praying for Brian just for the fact that he is leading youth and he is leading teens and he is leading people like this. But he's not doing it alone. I'm Brad Gates, one of the elders here, and it's my privilege to be able to talk about Brian real quickly. I sat down with Brian and asked him specifically what we could pray for him and for the youth program here. And Brian was immediately humble and said, first, you have to know this isn't all about me. You have to know who is helping me do this. And I have a list of their names here because it is very important to him that these people are also prayed for over this. He has these following people helping him as youth sponsors right now: Greg and Bobby McMahon, Jeanette Baker, Michelle Ewing, his wife, is also working with Brian, Jessica Calderon, Tina Ray, and then Ryan and Jasmine Farewell. So those are eight people dealing with 50 to 60 youth over there. Jeff Allen's talking about one teenager, and they're dealing with 50 to 60 on a weekly basis. I can't imagine that, even though I have been a youth sponsor before and have been over there and have helped. I just, 50 to 60, I have not dealt with that many kids at one time. Brian's prayer requests are specifically, though, for help. As you will probably hear, this could be a recurring theme. He needs some sponsors over there. But he doesn't need just people that you're going over there to help because they want to find an area to help. He needs people who love teenagers. And that might be a little more rare. He needs people that have a heart for him. As a teenager, you know if somebody is sincerely on board for you or not. You know, you're old enough to know if that person that is sitting there and says they care for you and they love you, you know if they're telling you the truth or not. So he needs people that genuinely have a heart for teenagers helping over there. He wants the kids to understand that a relationship with God is about the relationships. It's not about God's rules. You can't do this, you can't do that. He wants us to pray for that. He wants us to pray that the kids understand that they're taking in that love from Jesus Christ and they're giving it back out to other people. He wants us to pray not just for the kids, but for the families. He doesn't consider himself a youth pastor, necessarily, as a quote. He considers himself a minister to all of those families. And if you have kids over there in the youth, you may have experienced some of the things and some of the conversations with Brian, and you're aware of that. If you just take those things alone, that's enough to pray for. But like every other person that we're going to talk about here today, he's also a human being just like we are. And he needs prayer for his normal personal life. He's a husband. He's a father. He didn't ask for this. I'm giving it anyway in the talk here. But he's a husband. He's a father. He has a 10-year-old boy and a 3-year-old boy. The challenges you have when you are raising a family, combined with the challenges you have when you are called to help raise other families, is enormous. And Brian faces that all the time with an energy and a love and a passion that is unbelievable. I had to ask his permission to show that clip because I know that's not Brian's heart. I know Brian does not think about teenagers that way. I can snicker about it when I hear it, but I know he doesn't feel about teenagers that way. Maybe you could snicker a little bit, but he just wants people to have a heart for God, whether they're working over there or it's the kids that are actually in the program with him. Now, I kept trying to get personal with him, trying to dig more out of him, but no. It always was coming back to humility. It's not about me, it's about them. It's about their families. It's about my sponsors. And this is a guy that when I come down here on Wednesday night for men's ministry, he's here when I get here, he's here after I leave. He's here a lot. He prepares sermons over there. He helps prepare the music over there. It is not just, you know, hanging out with the kids and playing games. So we have over there a man that we don't get to see much when we sit in here unless we have teenagers there. that is working every bit as hard as Jeremy does for us in presenting the worship. And he's doing it on a weekly basis with all those kids and trying to reach kids who are at the formative part of their life. They're deciding what kind of people they're going to be. And it's his task with his sponsors to make sure that the person they're going to be has Jesus Christ at the center of their life. That's an enormous pressure in and of itself. So I have the privilege of being able to help lead the congregation in prayer for Brian this morning. And I just encourage you, not just in this time, but as the weeks go on, as the months go on, to lift up all of our staff in prayer for the things that they have to deal with in their personal life and then also in the life of our church. So let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for an opportunity to stop as a congregation and to think about the fact that we are all human here, that the staff goes through some of the same struggles that we do, that they go through many of the disappointments, the irritations and frustrations that we experience daily. And yet we come to church and we ask them to feed us. And we ask them to put all of that aside. We ask them to put all of that behind them and give to us on those days. Father, help us to remember that we need to lift them up each and every day, that we need to lift them up continuously, not just today. Father, I pray that you will be with the youth, that you will fill it with kids that have a heart for Jesus, and you will fill it with people that want to help with those kids that have a heart for those kids in Jesus Christ. And it's in his name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Ed Harris. In addition to being an elder, I am also the church treasurer. But this morning, I'm going to speak about Natalie Brown, our infant preschool ministry. Before Brian sees our youth join him, before our youth pass through Tammy and the children's ministry, Natalie gets them. Natalie is one of the first parties that many people encounter in our church. And in fact, first is a theme that kind of flows with the infant preschool ministry. Many times the first parties that a visitor encounters in our church is Natalie and her volunteers. Many mornings you will see, and I've had the pleasure of being a greeter of first service, usually on the door to my left, and you can watch a constant stream of parties moving in and out of that building as the infants and the young parties are being received. Natalie has done a wonderful job. She handles all of the curriculum. She prepares it during the week. I watch my grandchildren come out with drawings and things and think, oh, this is really great. They've had a good activity. And actually, each one of those things has a specific purpose to it. Natalie has prepared that during the week. Natalie, in most cases, is a single-person drama team preparing those programs for our children and going on. As I said, Natalie is the first party to greet many of our visitors, to greet many of us in the mornings. She, like other parties, like Brian, like Tammy, are all very dependent on those volunteers that they're able to recruit. Those are items and things that they work on consistently through the week. In preparing for this, I looked at several verses that are in Matthew, Luke, and Mark, and I selected Mark 10:13. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked him. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. And that continued thought that our infants in preschool is the first contact, that is the first spot for many times the word of Christ is spread. So I ask if you'll pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on Natalie Brown and her family and the volunteers that welcome our children each Sunday. We pray that you give them the wisdom and guidance to care for and teach your children. Our Lord, we thank you for the blessings our children have with Natalie and thank her and those who give their time and effort spreading the word. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Hi, my name is Jace Biandar, and I'm a recovering elder here at, that's a wrong meeting, sorry, I got a little confused there, but you know, when you're the fifth or sixth person to come out and everybody's sort of starting off the same way, you feel like I got to do something a little different. And I got the easy guy, I think. I got Jeremy, and you know, we see him as the face of the church often a lot of times. And I was able to sit down with him. I've known him for quite a few years, but like some of the other guys, we said, well, let's sit down with someone that we don't really know so much or know as well. And as you guys all know, you know, Jeremy only works one day a week, so he's got lots of time on his schedule. And we said, you know, hey, go ahead, meet with him. His schedule was wide open. You know, he even offered to take me to lunch. So I want to encourage you guys, you know, since he's sitting around all the time, call him up tomorrow. I want to see his schedule packed with hundreds of people all telling him, hey, I want to go to lunch with you. But, oh, by the way, since you offered to pick up the tab for Jace, you know, I think you should do the same thing. He's going to love that, I'm sure. But I bring that to a point because I'm a classroom teacher, and I've worked with classrooms as small as 20 students, and right now I do high school, so I've got about 100 students that I feel responsible for. And he's got several hundred. And while I'm in the classroom, you know, I'm dealing with math and reading and writing and basic things, hoping to influence a child that's going to someday be a successful adult. And he's sitting here with hundreds of people that he's responsible for eternally. And that's a kind of a big wow for me. And I say, oh my goodness, you know, that sort of pales in comparison to what I'm trying to deal with on a daily basis. And I remember reading this story about a teacher, and he was a young teacher, and I loved the fact that he admitted, he said, I can do all kinds of great things with my classroom because I'm a single guy. And I got lots of time on my hands. And he said, those of you with families, that's a whole nother story. And Jeremy's got that. Two teenagers and a wife. But he's got 300 to 400 to 500 other individuals that he feels responsible for. And he's got to try to balance those two things out. So when you pray for him, I would encourage you to pray not only for him, but for his family as they're trying to deal with this life. That, again, as a classroom teacher, my day ends, and I can go home and dedicate time to my family. My phone's not going to ring at 5 o'clock when we're sitting down for dinner because somebody needs to be visited in the hospital. My phone's not going to ring at 2 in the morning because some emergency has broken out and somebody just wants them to be prayed for. And that's what Jeremy goes through. Maybe not on a daily basis, but that is part of the life that he has been called to. In this book, it talks a little bit about praying for traps as well. And we all fall victim to various traps. I have my own. And there's a movie out that I would encourage many of you to go see called God's Not Dead. And there's an interesting scene in that movie. And the kid, he's not a kid, he's a young adult, and he's sitting with his mother who has dementia. So he basically feels like he's not talking to anybody. She doesn't know him at that point. She doesn't even realize he's there. And he's saying, yeah, I'm this horrible person. And yet I have this great life because he's a successful lawyer, businessman, et cetera, whatever. And he says, and look at you, Mom. You believed in God your whole life, and look at where you are right now. And for a second, she snaps out of that dementia. And she talks about the fact that the devil loves to put us into a cell when we're far away from him or from God, but he doesn't have to worry about closing the door because we're already in there. And it's someone like Jeremy or any of the staff on the church that are going to constantly be bombarded by Satan. Whereas those of us who are already kind of within our traps, he doesn't have to worry about us so much. So again, as you're praying throughout the week, consider that Jeremy is on the front lines, that he's going to be actively pursued by Satan in order to try to draw him away. And then finally, again, relating to teaching, there's a physical, mental side of it. And as a teacher, I realize a lot of times I am not going to ever see maybe the entire fruits of my labor. I understand that it may be 15, 20 years down the line, and that kid will have gone off, and hopefully they're successful, but I may never know about that. And in Jeremy's situation, it's very similar to that. He does his work on a daily basis, and he's praying for each and every one of us, hoping that in our families and in the people that we meet at work, that we are a great example of what Jesus did for us and how he saved us. And he doesn't necessarily always get to hear those successes. It's very easy sometimes maybe to fill out a card and say, hey, I didn't like this or I didn't like that or that bothered me. And if you can, again, in your week, take a moment and just be thankful for what you get to hear on a Sunday on a daily basis. That reward that he dedicates his life to having an impact in your life. Would you pray with me real quickly for Jeremy? Lord, we just want to lift Jeremy up right now, lift up his family, lift up his ministry, the fact that he felt called by you to dedicate his life to doing things for us. People coming in and out of his life each day. And sometimes he gets to see the rewards of that, but many times he does not. And Lord, we just want to lift him up. We want to know that there is a body of believers that stand behind him, but also stand in front of him, and that he's not just the face, the CEO that's leading us, but he is a team member, just like each one of us are. And that together, whether it's an elder, whether it's a deacon, whether it's a volunteer, a regular church member, every single one of us has an important role to play in order to bring others into a relationship with you and to help each one of us as we go through our daily lives, trying to live our lives for you. So we just lift him up right now, Lord, in our prayers and in our hearts. In your name we pray, amen.
My name's Tom Keatley, and I had the opportunity to spend a little time with Neil Harris. And Neil's responsibility, along with our messages from time to time, he's our techno geek. Okay, so a little while ago you saw a video, and Neil was the one that takes the video from wherever the source is, and it ends up here on the screen. And it came in at the right time, and it ended at the right time, and that's part of the gift that he has, and that's what he gets to do here. Now, to me, I didn't understand most any of that. Because when I sat down with him, my idea, and I don't know if you guys have the same thing, but with techno stuff, when we have a power outage, I'm the one that's calling my teenager to come in and reset the clock on the VCR. So I really have no clue what goes into making a seamless presentation on a Sunday morning. When I sat down with him, I wanted to know a couple of things. I wanted to know what causes him to pull his hair out as he goes through his normal week, what causes him a migraine as he goes through his week, and what are the things that break his heart as he goes through his week. And I found it interesting that only out of those three questions, only one of them involved hardware stuff, techno stuff. I somewhat gave him a headache. Now, some of you already understand the fact that there's a difference between a pad, a pod, a laptop, a PC, and an Apple, and right? Nah, sorry. That's speaking French to me, and I don't speak French. So I was interested to find out that some of the things that he uses to create these products work well with Apple. That's Mac, right? Is that all the same? Okay. But there's not an Apple in every office on this campus. There's PCs in some of these places, and he's got to make it translate from here to there so it shows up here. I don't know how he does it. Makes it work, makes it look good. But we're not in a position on the campus to make everything the same. So he's got to make it work. And he goes, you know what? It is what it is. It's just the way you've got to do business for now. But he's got the talent to do that. Okay? Not me. We'd be standing up here with cue cards if I had to do any of this stuff. Okay? The other thing I asked him, I said, what causes you to pull your hair out? He goes, Do you realize that the folks who come in and volunteer for the tech staff, that you just can't grab somebody walking in on a Sunday morning if one of those volunteers isn't able to make it that day? Okay. Now, if you had a problem over in the in Base Camp Junior, I could come over and I could help with changing a diaper, or I could help with putting on a Sunday school class for the kids. Okay, but if Neil grabbed me and said, "Tom, hey, I need you upstairs to run lights," we'd all be sitting in the dark. Okay, or if you wanted to run, you know, the slides or a video, we'd be watching the History Channel. Might not be too bad. But I can't, most of us just can't jump into those seats up there. So what makes him pull his hair out is somebody committing, as in all the other ministries on campus, somebody commits, "Oh yeah, I'm there for you." And they're not there for him. That impacts what happens in this worship center on a Sunday morning. Now, those of us who are members here, we have forgiveness of that. We'd be able to be flexible. A visitor walking in the door and this thing's going sideways, that's going to impact whether a visitor might come back or not. So he's pulling his hair out because maybe we don't have the commitment and the accountability to stick to our word and do what we say we're going to do. What really surprised me is when I asked him the things that broke his heart. And he said he has realized, and he's been around ministry for a while, but he's realized that people are still walking in these doors and they have never heard of a loving God. Not that God loves them and Christ died for them and the cross is empty and the tomb is empty. Just the fact that there's a God out there. Some people have never heard that. That convicted me. That's my fault. We get equipped here to know. I know that Jesus died for me. And I know that he lives again. But if somebody's walking in here and hasn't heard that, that's my fault. And it's not technology that bothers Neil. He said there's too many people out there that haven't heard this. And they are literally walking in the doors of this worship center. The conviction that I felt from that let me know what was on this man's heart deep down. That's why he does this techno stuff. That's why he's running around going crazy when a light bulb goes out or an electrical connection gets pulled out. Because he wants folks to know that God is there and God loves them. And there's too many out there that don't. I walked away from that meeting understanding a little bit more about Neil, and it's more than computers and toys. Hey, when we get a chance to the opportunity to hear one of his messages, I know they're heart sent, because he wants that, even if it's that one person that one day, to know that God is there for him. Then we can take the step to teach him that Christ died for him. As we pray for Neil and the rest of the staff, as we go through our week, I ask that you, that your prayer for him is that God continues to strengthen his knowledge of these systems and also strengthen his heart, that he can continue to lead us and equip us so we can walk out these doors and we can meet the people that need to be met, and we can tell them and show them that there's a loving God out there, and bring them in here and let them meet all of you and find out what a living God is like. Father God, we love you and we're thankful for the grace and mercy that you pour out onto us every day. And Father, as our staff equips us with your word and with the knowledge of your love, Father, empower us to walk out these doors and show that love to those we come in contact with, even the ones that might cause us to shirk back at the initial sight. Father, you love every one of us. Let us show your love to those we come in contact with. And Father, I specifically raise up Neil to you as he is a father, as he is a husband, and as he is a pastor for you. Give him the strength in all these areas so he can focus on the care of his wife and children. And he has twins. And he can focus on his message that he wants to show you to everyone that he comes in contact with and that you bring on to this campus. Father, we love you. We're thankful for your love for us that you've shown through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. I know how it is. I'm a kindergarten teacher, and about this time in our day, we would be, okay, you guys have been sitting way too long. It's time to get up, get a circle. Let's do the hokey pokey. Any takers? No? You sure? I did first service. There was, no. Seriously, I'm one of the elders, and I had the privilege of being able to talk with Tammy Grable. She is our children's pastor and just has a true love for those that are over there. Mark chapter 10, verses 14 and 16. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And he took the children in his arms and put his hands on them and he blessed them. As Tammy began working with children as a volunteer in her church, long ago, she was a high school student. She loved children then, as she loves them now. And her desire back then was to lead those little children to the kingdom of God. Eventually, of course, she moved into full-time ministry and a full-time position within her church. Now, as Tammy works with children, she sees the needs of the whole family. She's working with the children, but she does see the needs of the whole family and loves to see the Lord working in that family. She has excitement in ministry when the volunteers get excited about the family and about seeing them grow in their love of the Lord. Seeing the excitement in the children as they learn about the Lord brings true joy to her heart. Now, I know this part of the series we've been going through, I Am a Church Member. And those of you that are involved in small groups, you've been going through that book as well. And this chapter for this week is praying for our pastors. And that's why each one of us is presenting the prayer requests for each one of our pastors here on staff. So this part of the series, we're praying for our pastors. And in praying for Tammy, her desire for ministry is, first of all, for the Lord to continue to lead her as she's writing the curriculum for the children, with a creativity that helps keep the kids excited in their growth of their Christian walk. Number two would be for the committed volunteers that she depends on every week, and for them to be able to continue to share and work in ministry with the joy that is in their Christian walk. Now, I asked Tammy if she could share with me some of her own personal needs and prayer requests that we as a church body could be praying for. And it was not surprising to me that her prayer requests were about family. Number one, as for her and Darren, as they now become empty nesters. Bethany is in college now. Caitlin is going to be getting married this June. Number two then is for the growing family as Caitlin gets married and the additional members that they will have in their family as they have a son-in-law joining them and then the extended family within his family that'll be a part of them as well. Number three, then, as for both of their girls, that they would have the Lord's peace in their lives as they continue to live for Him. Now, we as a local congregation, as a local church, are indeed blessed to have Tammy Grable on staff and working with our children, as is shown every day as she shares from her heart. Her overriding desire is that we as a church keep up with the ever-changing needs of our community families, the ones that are around here, close to us, and that this would be a place where all would be welcome and that God's love would be shared. So as we bring Tammy Grable up in prayer, we can remember the word family, and you will be sharing her heart of ministry, if you remember that. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this church, this congregation. Thank you for Tammy and her commitment and desire to share your love with children and with the families that they are part of. And we commit her unto you and just give her the strength to live the way that you want her to live and to be used of you to reach others for Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
I know we've gone a little long this morning. You had seven men talk passionately about ministry and those they serve with. And as you leave this morning, I want to just encourage you to keep our staff in prayer. In a nutshell, keep their physical bodies in prayer, because those can break down with stress, and emotionally, their health. Pray for their families. Many of them, as you know, are in the front lines and the first people that meet the visitors that come to this church. And we know that as we march forward, Satan is not happy. So I'm going to encourage you to use that bulletin as your prayer guide this week. So let's pray as we conclude. If you have prayer, the elders are going to be up here. We like to pray for everyone, to be honest with you. And we would encourage you, if you have prayer needs, please feel free to share with us. Put them on those information cards. We get those every week. Every week we get that information to know what to lay before the Lord. So let's pray. Father God, we just come to you now. And Father God, we just pray for our staff. We pray that you would protect them, that you would surround them, Father God. As Satan tries to defeat your kingdom, Father God, we know, as Jesus tells us, that we, Father God, will stand. We will stand with you, Father God, and nothing can overcome us, Father God, for you overcame it all. So I pray for our staff, and I just pray that we lift them up as a congregation and as a group of elders. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.